when I started this morning. We won't be long. If I let you out here in time to get an ice cream, if that's what you want.
No.
No? You don't want ice cream?
No.
Fine. You can get a lot of water.
Okay.
You don't want ice cream. You wanted ice cream, I'll let you get a little bit.
I can't hear you.
You know what?
I can't hear you.
Can't hear me?
No.
Just this front row, you can't hear me?
No.
I'm not on? Oh, hello, hello. There I am. Okay. I'm on now, right?
Yep.
How come I'm not echoey tonight? That was neat this morning. Sounded like
George fixed it.
Who?
Yeah.
Oh, Troy fixed it? Okay.
Yeah.
Thought she said George. No, I left George over here a little while ago. Didn't know where George was. All right. We're talking about the Word of God, the importance of the Word of God. And again, I know this is elementary, my dear.
Where are you?
I know it's one of those things where you know you got all the answers, you know all the verses, you know everything about it, you believe the Bible, praise the Lord for it. But at times we need just a reminder, an encouragement that the Bible needs to be read. I need that periodic encouragement to remind me that, yes, to remind me and to encourage me. And, I've already been encouraged by preparing this, and so I was kind of hoping it might do a little help to you. I don't know. But we'll be in, let me read two verses here in Acts 17, and then I'll get into this. Verse 10 says, "And the brethren immediately sent away Paul and Silas by night unto Berea, who coming thither went into the synagogue of the Jews. These were more noble than those in Thessalonica, in that they received the word with all readiness of mind and searched the scriptures," say it,
"Amen.
Whether those things were so." Father, bless the message tonight. Use it for your honor and for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen. We've already discussed four things this morning on what we need to do, as we talked about, you know, why, if the Bible is important, what do we do with it? Well, number one was we what?
Read it.
We read it. Number two, we what?
Receive it.
Number three, we
desire it.
Number four, we
study it.
Number five, we search it. Search. Right? This is number five, search. The story is told of an old man who was wandering in the desert looking for water. He approached an old shack, and on the porch area he found a water pump. That's good news. Next to the water pump he saw a 1 gallon jug. The note on the jug said, "Use all the water to prime the pump." The man's instinct said to drink the water and not trust the pump. Nevertheless, he poured the water into the pump and began pumping until an abundance of cool water started to flow. The Bible is a lot like that. It's a lot like that note on that water jug, because sometimes the instructions contained in the Bible don't make sense to us. But they're there for our good.
Amen.
And we must realize that this book is always right.
Amen.
You're not always right.
Amen.
I'm not always right, but the Bible is always right.
Amen.
This Bible never makes a mistake. I make them daily.
Amen.
So do you.
Amen.
This Bible will never, ever lead me astray. I may lead you astray. I hope and pray that I don't. You may lead me astray. You may lead somebody astray. This Bible will never lead us astray. I view this Bible as our friend. Because Jesus is our friend. And He left us His Word. This is my friend. When you look at the Word of God as your friend, that you'll do everything you can to protect it, to spend time with it. You like to spend time with friends, don't you?
Amen.
Huh?
Yeah?
Yeah. Amen. You do. We all do. When you're not in church for a period of time, we miss you.
Yeah.
We miss you.
Amen.
When I go away and we're not here in church, I miss you. Because we're friends. We're friends.
Amen.
We're friends. I look at you as friends, and I hope you look to me as a friend. Some pastors believe that they should never, ever make a friend with anybody in the pews or in the chairs. That the pastor has to be secluded from them and has to be kind of above them, and you don't want to make a friend because you make a friend, and that's not good. You don't want to show favoritism. But I have a hard time not being your friend.
Come on.
I want to be your friend. If you'll let me. Please let me be your friend. I'll pay you. But we want to be friends. We want to have friends, right? Don't you like to have friends?
Yeah.
Everybody wants a friend, I think. I think you want a friend. If you don't, there's something wrong with you. We just like it. We want a friend. Roman Catholic priest in Belgium rebuked a young woman and her brother for reading that bad book as she pointed to the Bible. Mr. Priest, she replied. A little while ago, my brother was an idler, a gambler, a drunkard, and made such a noise in the house that no one could stay in it. Since he began to read the Bible, he works in industry. He goes no longer to the tavern, and no longer does he touch the cards and gambles. He brings home money to his poor old mother, and our life at home is quiet and delightful. How come, Mr. Priest, that a bad book produces such good fruit?
Yeah.
Amen. This Bible produces good fruit. We need to read it. We need to be in it. We need to be studying it. David Livingston, a great missionary, he was a doctor. He trained as a medical doctor and went to Africa. When David Livingston began his trek across Africa in 1852, he started off with 73 books in his backpack. That's a lot of books in your backpack. Matter of fact, they say that they weigh 180 pounds. Now, Michael and those that have been in the Army, when you wear those, what do you call that?
Rucksack.
When you wear those, how much weight is in that, Mike?
80 to 100 pounds.
That's a lot of weight, isn't it? To carry around on your marches and hiking and all of that. I can't imagine carrying 180. That's how much I weigh. I'd be on your back the whole way across. Oh, I don't forget. I think it's over 1,500 miles across Africa. But we started off with 73 books. After he had gone 300 miles, he had to start throwing his books away. And so he would start throwing them away in the jungle because it was way too hard to travel through the jungles with all of that weight. He continued throwing the books away as he went through the jungle. Eventually, his library had shrunk to just one book. Guess which one?
Bible.
The Bible. He threw everything else out but the Word of God. The Bible is truly the most important book in our life.
Amen.
If you had to hang on to one book and get rid of all your other books, which one would you hang on to? Hopefully your Bible. If I lost all those books in the office, I wouldn't really be missing anything. I know some of you have given me those books. You would be. No, not really. If my computer crashed, which I have a lot of books on, like I have thousands of books on the computer, a lot of commentaries and things. If I lost all of that, as long as I have this book,
amen,
I'm okay.
Amen.
As long as you have this book, you're okay. You can get rid of everything else. You don't need anything else. I like to have a good dictionary and a concordance around. Those are the two main books that I use when I'm doing my studies, is a concordance and a dictionary. Because I still have to look up words, and I write the meaning down in the Bible. There are some archaic words in this book. I forget exactly how many. There's a bunch. But it's good to have a dictionary to look up those archaic words to find out what they are and what they mean. If you don't know what a word means, look it up.
Right?
Look it up. Don't run to another version to try to figure out what it's saying. Just look up the word. We teach our kids in school how to operate a dictionary. It could be your best friend after the Bible is a dictionary. So always realize how important that is. But again, the Bible is the most important book you'll ever own. This is a funny little thing. A door-to-door salesman from a publishing house asked a lady as he was approaching her house or as he went to the house if she owned a copy of the Bible. She said, "I certainly do," and she replied with a lot of pride. To his next question, he asked this, "Well, do you read it regularly?" "Oh, yes." She sent her little daughter to get the Bible from the table drawer, and as she showed it to the salesman, her glasses fell out from between the pages. Without thinking, she says, "Oh, here's my glasses. I've been looking for them for 3 years." She reads it regularly. Yeah, about every three to five years, probably. In Acts chapter 17, verse 11, the Bible says that they searched the Scriptures daily. The word search, Webster says the definition of search is to look over or through for the purpose of finding something. Have you ever lost something and then gone and searched for it? Mm-hmm. You've all probably done that, right? Lost. You ever lose your keys?
Much.
Huh?
Yes.
You ever lose a wallet?
The remote.
Yes.
The remote?
Yeah.
That's Bob's best friend. Bob's, right? The remote. Put that on there. Bob's best friend.
I got a panic button for it.
Got a what?
Panic button for it.
Do you really? Yeah. They have them now. You can get those things where you figure it out. And you put it on your phone. Find my remote, right? You addicted people to your TV. But that happens. When we have kids and grandkids over, Kathy and I will go to sit down and watch something. Where's the remote? And we can't find the remote. It'll be in a couch cushion. It'll be under the couch. We have to search the house for the remote. We have found it in other rooms before. Because a kid will take and grab the remote and go off to do some, you know, go to the bathroom, takes the remote with them, you know, things like that. But, so...
Freezer?
Really?
You never seen the fridge before?
I gotta say, we've never found our remote in the freezer or fridge.
Yeah.
You have?
Yeah. You've had a lot of kids.
I know, but I just never thought that they'd be in the fridge or freezer.
We'll get a popsicle.
I guess, you know what? That's very, very possible.
That
would kill the battery.
I got a lot of kids.
I know you do. Yeah. So your remote could be anywhere. But Webster says to search is to look through for the purpose of finding something. Then he says it's to explore and to examine by inspection. This book is a book to explore. Some people like to explore. I do. I like to go off to places and maybe somewhere I've never been before and hike and look around and just look for things. I look at trees. I look at things like, you're boring. Well, of course I am. I'm old. I like to look at things like that. I look at trees. I look at hills. I look at dirt. I look at stones. You know, you look at all kinds of things. You're always out there searching for interesting things, right? See if you can find it. I just mentioned to Kathy now. So we ought to get one of those metal things. Beep, 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 beep. You know, go out there and just old man with his metal detector out there try to find pennies and things. Oh, I don't know. They say you can find all kinds of neat things with one of those. But no, I've not done that yet, and I haven't gotten to that point yet in my life, so hopefully I don't get to that point. But that's what you do. You go out and search for things. You're looking for stuff. Well, our Bible, I really believe that we need to do that with the Word of God. We search it. You find a passage of Scripture, you found something that speaks to your heart, you search it out. That's part of the studying, I believe, is when you search and study the Word of God. But this, again, this is something that we do with the Bible. It's so important that we search it daily. We're looking for things. We're looking for jewels and treasure. You know, this Bible is filled with treasure and jewels. It really is. It's worth more than anything in the world. You can have an amazing amount of value in just one verse. I think every verse in the Bible has more treasure than anything else. There's people out there doing treasure hunting. Maybe you've seen some of these shows where they're treasure hunting. They're trying to find things in the sea or in the ground or whatever. And people like to watch those kinds of things to see what kind of treasure they get. And yet, we Christians can open up this book. It's not locked. You can open it up freely. And you can go treasure hunting. Search the Scriptures. The Bible says daily. Examine it. Thoroughly. Not just read over it. Glaze over it and get up and go off and do your thing, but spend time in the Bible. So number 5 is to search it. Go to Psalm 119. Here's number 6. These are not in any particular order. Psalm 119. What is Psalm 119? Well, it's the Word of God chapter. 176 verses, the longest chapter in the Bible. And just about every verse deals with the Word of God. Every verse mentions God in it. And so when you put God next to His Word in every verse, that shows you how important the Bible is. It's the only chapter in the whole Bible that deals with that particular subject. It deals with the subject of the Word of God. Psalm 119. We're not sure exactly who wrote it. Some believe David wrote it. Some believe Ezra wrote it. Some believe it was written during the captivity time, the Babylonian captivity. Some believe it was written around 586 B.C. I'm not exactly sure. I've heard all different kinds of stories on Psalm 119. I do know who wrote it and why it's in the Bible. I know that God wrote it. And I know the Holy Spirit inspired somebody or a whole bunch of people to write Psalm 119. And He put it in the middle of the Bible for a reason, for a purpose. To show us and to tell us how important the Bible is. Number six, I think we ought to memorize it. I've heard of people memorizing Psalm 119. Now, I'm not a good memorizer, but that's my excuse. We use that as an excuse. Anybody can memorize Scripture. Anybody can memorize. Don't say, I can't memorize Scripture. Yes, you can. If you put some effort into it, you can memorize it. It takes some effort. And I know the older we get, it might take a little bit more effort. But you can memorize Scripture. You can take a verse, you can take a passage of Scripture, you can just start writing it out, you can go over it and over it and over it, and just apply that to your heart, and anybody can memorize Scripture. It says in Psalm 119, verse 11, it says, Thy word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against thee. Now, we could talk about, well, does that mean meditate? Does that mean memorize? I think it means memorize because it says, Thy word have I hid in my heart.
That's right.
Yeah. When you memorize something, you're hiding it. You're putting it in there. It's put away. You know what it says. You have it memorized. It's there.
That's good.
The more Scripture that you do memorize or put to memory, I think, because of what the Bible says, not I think, I know, you'll sin less. You won't become sinless, but you'll sin less. Because that verse, passage of Scripture, whatever, the Holy Spirit will use that to bring to mind when you're tempted to sin.
That's good.
Right? And you'll be tempted to sin if you're not. Yeah. We're always tempted to sin.
Every day.
So, again, it says, Thy word have I hid in mine heart, that I might not sin against thee. The purpose of memorizing is not to be a show-off.
Right.
The purpose of memorizing, when kids go to camp, and I know Nathaniel and other kids who just went, memorized a bunch of Scripture. How many Scriptures did you memorize?
25
passages of Scripture. Verses?
Amen.
Verses. He memorized 25 verses. And you memorized them. Somebody said you went over the list twice. I don't know what that meant.
I went over nine of them again.
Oh, nine of them again. But he memorized those verses at camp, got an award for it, or whatever. And I remember when I was younger and I was a counselor at camp, Circle 7 Ranch, when Hal Roscoe was the camp leader, I remember having, every time you went to camp, you had a book to memorize, or a whole bunch of passages of Scripture to memorize. And I'll never forget Karen Liscombe, Karen Overton, Pastor Overton's daughter, memorized the entire book of Colossians. And I think she memorized other verses that week, too. I mean, the girl was, like, amazing. I got a couple verses out of it, too. She memorized the entire book, word for word, perfect. And she got all kinds of awards every year she went to camp for memorizing. She can memorize. For some people, it seems to be easier. For some people, it seems to be harder. And that's just the way it is. But to memorize Scripture, that should be with you all the time. It might be hidden away, but when you need it, the Holy Spirit can bring it to light. You might not remember every verse, but when it's important and when you need it, it'll be there. That's what it means to hide God's Word in the heart. So I think the Bible is so important that we ought to memorize it and have a memory plan. People have different memory plans. They try to memorize maybe a a verse a day or a passage of scripture. Or some people have, I've heard of people memorize the Psalm 119. I would love to memorize Psalm 119. Will I ever do it before I die? I don't know. I use the same excuse that many of you do. I can't memorize. It's just an excuse. I can memorize that if I put my mind to it. Put my heart to it. I can memorize that. I can memorize the whole thing. And so can everybody in this room. You can memorize it. If you try hard enough, you can do it. We could all do it together. Let's do it together. Yeah. Be laughing at him. All right, I'll move on. But attempt to memorize. I do believe this, and I have these memorized for years. I think you ought to memorize the Romans Road.
Amen.
How many of you have the Romans Road memorized? A few of you. Amen. You should. You should have the Romans Road memorized. Romans Road is pretty simple. Romans 3:10, Romans 3:23, Romans 5:8, Romans 6:23, Romans 10, 9, and 13. That's the basic Romans Road. You can memorize more, but that's the ones that I have memorized over the years. If you're talking to somebody, you can quote that scripture. You can give them the plan of salvation. I think it's good to have Ephesians 2, 8, and 9 memorized.
Amen.
I think it's good to have John 3, 16 memorized. I think it's good to have other scriptures memorized when you're dealing with people and explaining the plan of salvation. John 14, 1 through 6. You know, things like that are important to have memorized that when you're talking to somebody. You should be able to rattle off some scripture if you don't have the opportunity to pull out your Bible and actually show it to the person. It's best to show the person the Bible, the scripture. It's best to point and say, read that to me. That's the greatest scenario that you can do. But sometimes you don't have that privilege. But quoting that scripture, remember, God says His Word will not return void. So when you quote a scripture, when you have something memorized and you give it out to somebody, it's going to do something. It's either going to convict them, it's going to help them, it's going to shut them down. But they have that choice when the Word of God is given to them. And so that's why we memorize scripture. It's not only just for our benefit, and it is designed for our benefit, but it's also designed for the benefit of somebody else that needs it. We've said this before, you might be the only Bible that anybody will ever see.
That's right.
And so what kind of memorization do you know? Or what kind of verses do you know? How much memorization have you done as a Christian? Could you rattle off some verses if you were asked, hey, what does the Bible say about this? Would you be able to do that? That takes work. It takes a lot of discipline in order to do that. So anyway, number six is to memorize it. That's how important it is. The Bible tells us that. Thy word have I hid in my heart, that I might sin against thee. Joshua 1:8. Let's look at that one. Here's the next one. Joshua 1:8. Joshua 1:8. Joshua 1:8 says, this book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. And so, not only memorize the Bible, but meditate on the Bible. That's the next one. Meditate on the Bible. To meditate is to dwell on, to contemplate. To just sit there and really think about it. I was reading a proverb the other day, and a verse just kind of jumped off the page at me, and I was just looking at it, and I stopped and meditated on that one verse in Proverbs. You ever do that?
Yes.
Come across the verse that just kind of spoke to your heart, and you meditate on that. And the way that I meditate is I look at it, and I say, ooh, that's good. Then I read it again. I say, ooh, that's even better. And then I read it again. And sometimes I'll read it a half a dozen times or more. That's meditating. I'm not necessarily trying to memorize the verse, but I'm meditating on the verse. And again, I'm dwelling on the verse. I'm thinking about the verse. I'm thinking about the truth that's in that particular verse. I hope and pray that you do that when you read your Bible. Because there's times in when I pray and ask God to speak to me as I'm reading the Word of God, and I ask the Holy Spirit to open thou mine eyes that I may behold wondrous things out of thy law, the Holy Spirit will show you things you need for the day in the passage that you're reading. Maybe He's trying to show you a verse you're going to need later in the day.
Right.
He may be showing you a concept from the Bible, scriptural concept that you're going to need maybe to help somebody that you come in contact with, or a friend or a relative, or you might get a text, a phone call. You might work somebody that you work with, maybe going through a real difficult time, or maybe a verse that you've read there in the morning that you can say, hey, I just read this verse. Let me show you that verse to help them. And that's what it means to meditate. You're thinking about, you're concentrating on a particular, and I'm not just saying a verse, sometimes a word, just a word. I'll meditate on a word. Sometimes a word will just speak to my heart. Or a whole chapter. You can meditate on a whole book. We need to meditate on the whole Bible, that's what we need to do. But again, it's important that we spend time meditating on the Word of God. Just again, these are critical things that I'm just sharing with you today as the importance of this book.
Amen.
Psalm 119. Go back to that. Psalm 119. Again. And verse 4. Psalm 119, verse 4. Keeping, that was number 7, meditate on it. Number 8 is obey it. Obey it. Do what it says. Psalm 119, verse 4. There's a lot of scripture on this. I'm just going to give you a couple here. But it says in Psalm 119, verse 4, thou hast commanded us to keep thy precepts diligently. Thou hast commanded us to keep thy precepts diligently. We're to obey the Bible. If it says to do something, we are to do it. If it says to not do something, then we're not to do it. It tells us how to live our life.
Right.
It tells us what to do every single day of our life. Our problem is not what the Bible says. Our problem is our obeying it.
Amen.
Doing what it says. James chapter 1. James chapter 1. James chapter 1, verse 22. James chapter 1, verse 22. But be ye doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. That's a problem that we have at times.
Mm-hmm.
We're, instead of being doers of the word, we're hearers of the word. We come to church, we sit, we hear the Word of God, the preacher, whoever he is, gets up, preaches, teaches, and we hear it. And it's good. We'll throw a few amens in there once in a while. And we'll even tell the preacher when we leave, boy, that was a good message. But we only came in and we only heard it. We exit stage left, we get in our cars, and we go home, and we totally forget what the preacher has preached to us, or what the Bible has said to us during that sermon. God uses not only Bible reading, but God uses sermons from preachers.
Right.
He uses teachings during Sunday school. Our Sunday school teachers teach our kids certain things and try to get our kids to get involved and hear the Word of God and memorize the Word of God and meditate upon the Word of God. But when you become a doer of the Word, you've reached another level in your Christianity.
Right.
A basic level of Christianity is just hearing the Word. I come to church every week. I'm there 4 times a week preaching. And I love what you say. I love the Word of God. And okay, we're hearers of the Word. But when you reach that next level of being a doer of the Word, that's when your life is really changed.
Right.
That's when you start to really see some changes, not only in your own life, but in the life of other people. That's when you become a doer of the Word of God. James says, be doers of the Word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. For if any be a doer of the Word, and I'm sorry, be a hearer of the Word and not a doer, he is like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass, for he beholdeth himself and goeth his way, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. And so, we need to obey it. We simply need to do what it says. If it tells us to do something, then do it. If it tells us don't do that, then don't do that.
Yeah.
It'll never steer you wrong.
Mm. Amen.
And then finally, go back to Psalm 119. I'm trying to give you a little Bible exercise. Though. Psalm 119, 127. Psalm 119. Again, we read it. We receive it. We desire it. We are to study it. Search it. Memorize it. Meditate on it. Obey it. And then finally, Psalm 119, 127, it says, therefore I love thy commandments above gold, yea, above fine gold. We're to love it. We're to love it. The more you love something, the more you're going to enjoy it. Right?
Right.
The more you love something, the more you're going to spend time with that, either person or that opportunity, whatever. I hear people say this, if you love your job, you'll not work a day in your life.
Right?
You know, enjoy what you do. You go to work and enjoy it. If you have a job that you hate, can't stand getting up every day and go, then quit and find something you like to do.
Right.
Amen. I never had a job, even working in the diaper service. That was pretty disgusting. But I would go to work, even though it wasn't an enjoyable type of a job, I thank God that I had a job.
Amen.
And I would go and do my best that I could for the Lord in whatever it is my tasks were. Some people, all they do is complain about, I hate this, I don't like that. I had a guy at work, I told you about this before, I hated this job every day. I hate my job. Well, go find another one.
Yeah, right.
Dummy. You know, I would say that to him. Go find another job. Well, I can't find anything that pays better than this, and the benefits are good. So, I mean, after a while, he'd say, oh, yeah, maybe this job is pretty good. And he had a really good job, but he had that attitude. It's an attitude. You walk around with your attitude. I'm sorry, but your attitude is you. And a lot of people need an attitude readjustment. We need to send them away to a school where their attitude can be readjusted. If you walk around hating stuff all the time, then why don't you find something you like to do? Right now, there's so many opportunities out there in the world. For a young person, man, I drive by places, I say, man, if I was 20, 30 years younger, I could have that job. I know how to do that. I see the boards out there. I mean, if I was young, I could have any job out there at all, practically. I couldn't be a brain surgeon. I haven't gotten that far yet. My studies. But there's a lot of good jobs out there. There's a lot of good things out there that people can do. They just, I guess if you want to work, you can work. If you can work, you should work.
Right.
And there's so many opportunities out there right now. Problem is, it's trying to find people that want to work.
Yeah, that's right.
They can't get people that want to work. But do you love the Bible?
Yeah.
Do you love getting up every day and spending some time, quality time in this book?
Yeah.
Do you really love your Bible more than you love money?
Yeah.
Isn't that what that says, that verse? Therefore I love thy commandments above gold, yea, above fine gold. That means you are to love this book more than anything else. You should be spending more time in this book than doing other things. I'm not saying you got to read the Bible all day long. We don't have time to do that. We do have other responsibilities. We have work, we have family, we have things we got to do. And God knows that. But there should be a time in your day, every day, Even on Sundays, I still read the Bible every Sunday. There should be a time in your day that you say, wow, I get to read the Bible now. Not that, oh, I have to go read my Bible. I got to do this. If I don't, I'm just going to, you know, the life is going to fall apart. And that's no way to think about reading God's Word.
Right. No.
It should be something you look forward to.
You might
look forward to spending time in God's Word, loving this Bible. Sometimes I open it up and I just touch it. Say, Lord, this is you. This is the closest I get to touching Jesus Christ. Did you know that? He is called the Word. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. When I have this book in front of me, I'm literally reading about Jesus Christ. And I know I'm a little weird at times, but I'll just, Lord, I'm touching your Word. This is amazing. I'm close to you right now. Do you love the Lord Jesus Christ? Then you'll love His Word. Do you love the Lord Jesus Christ? You'll love His church. If you love the Lord Jesus Christ, you'll love praying to Him and talking to Him. You'll love giving. You'll love witnessing for Him. You'll just love serving the Lord because He's so good to you. He is. He is so good to all of us. And so the Bible, how important is it? I would say it should be the most important thing that you have in your life.
Amen.
Take it home with you instead of leaving it in the chairs. And read it when you get home.
Amen.
Read it every day. So when you do forget it, like I did this past week, I told you that this morning. I left it here Wednesday night after church and I felt weird without it.
Right.
Not the Kathy's, it was pink. I had to read it. But I wore a pink shirt on Wednesday night. I'm not against pink. It just, that wasn't my Bible. You understand what I'm saying? This is my Bible. This is the Bible I read and study and preach from and teach from. And I missed it. I actually came home on Friday and I opened up my office and I looked and there's my Bible. Sitting right there on the desk. Right where I left it. God says, right where you left it, tell me. Left it right there. But I missed it. From Wednesday night to Friday, I missed it. I think it's okay to do that. I think we ought to do that. I think this book ought to be so important to you that if for some reason you don't read it, for whatever reason, and there's no good... there might be some good reasons. I don't know. But make it a point to read it, memorize it, meditate upon it, learn it, search it out, study it, desire it, all the things, the nine things I gave you today. This is God's book.
Amen.
And He gave it to us to read, study, and have with us. Father, thank you again for this book. Thank you for the Word of God that you've given to us. We don't deserve it, but thank you for it, Lord. Help us to live it. Help us, Lord, to learn it. Help us, Lord, to love it more. I pray right now, Lord, that you'd speak to all of our hearts. Lord, you know who's reading your Bible on a regular basis and who's gleaning from it. And Lord, you also know if there's somebody listening here tonight that doesn't read it on a consistent basis, Lord, you know who that is. Convict their hearts to read this Bible. Convict our hearts to make it a habit of reading the Bible. Lord, just use this book to penetrate our hearts and to have us to do what you want us to do. Help us, Lord, to see from this Word the things that we are supposed to do and the things that we should not do. Point out the sin in our life through the Word of God, through the Holy Spirit. Help us to confess that sin and forsake it. Lord, I thank you again for the blessings you give to us. Bless the invitation in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand. You need to come tonight for something. Come. You have a spiritual need. Do you know Christ as your personal Lord and Savior?